tell you men something, the boys of experience, them flippy floppies, they get old. Stretch marks come with the territory. And all women have basically the same equipment. And after a while, you learn that. Brains and attitude can grow. The rest of it deteriorates. And comes rather cheaply out here in Hollywood. Get yourself a woman with brains enough to figure out that this life is preparation for eternity, and she better practice a while down here. You women that don't like it, get mad at God. He determined your gender. I didn't. His word simply lays down the relationship. I don't like what God's done to me. Well, neither do I. I could have done a lot more for him if he'd have made me a Rockefeller. I mean, you know, we all got something to gripe about. Just be glad he didn't make you a bureaucrat. There are worse things. Now, you men would get up and look in the mirror tomorrow. I'm not talking about arrogancy. I'm just talking about the courage to be. And the courage to say, the one I got will go God's way, or there's one who will. Or my pastor seems to be doing all right. You don't see me crying, do you? I mean, do you realize how many women are in this world? Streetcars after streetcars. And how much joy there is in saying no. Some of you hounds have never learned that. With the dignity comes some responsibility. The thing's wrong with this country is that a generation has grown up having no respect for lords and kings. And how painful life becomes when God, the hound of heaven, says, I want this one, and lays his hand on you. And you never learn that there are authorities in this universe. I say, as this church, none of you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be held responsible for this church. This under-shepherd will. If I become one of the wimp pastors that does what every wind of sail in the church wants, you won't bear the responsibility, I will. And I happen to believe in eternity and that this is a drop in the bucket to what we will be responsible for in the eons to come. I will stand before the chief shepherd and will answer the question at the judgment seat of Christ, why I did this and why I didn't do that. But I'm telling you, fathers, he's made you the head of the house. You abdicate because of some tyrannical strong-willed, stubborn, unbending broad, you're going to be held accountable. Friend, you're the head of the house. God runs by his formulas. And God expects the church to learn something from its pastor about the authority of God. And God expects the family to learn something from the father about the authority of God. And that's the message today, the authority of God. Jeremiah, chapter 18. You watch me do this in a hurry. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, I preach this every year, so
so I can say it fast. Rise and go down to the potter's house. There I'll cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. You need to write in the margin, page 839. If you've got a Bible like mine, you need to write in the margin to verse 3. Behold, he wrought his work, not just any old work, his work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel. Underline these words in the fourth verse. As seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Now the strongest men in the Bible, Zechariah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Paul in the New Testament. Absolutely the toughest ones in the Bible. What they bore up under goes beyond anything any of us face in the modern day. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and Paul in the New Testament. Every single one of these strong-willed, authoritative, unbending men were brought by God to the potter's house. Because the potter's house teaches a lesson more graphic than any other thing about authority. One of them was asked by God, Isaiah, and made to say, doth the clay say to the potter, what makest thou? You don't talk back to the potter. Well, you know, I want to be this artful pot that sits on a pedestal and is admired. I don't want to be this bedpan. The clay doesn't talk back to the potter. He wrought his work on the wheel. He didn't like what came out. He made it again. As seemed good to the potter to make. Now I want to talk to you about a principle. You already got it. How many got it already written in the margin of your Bible? Write a principle down. One. Write two, purpose. Three, process. Four, prize. Five, person. Once again, principle, purpose, process, prize, person. If you got them all written down, then I don't have to finish today. I can just take whatever I got time to do in the next few minutes. Principle, two, purpose, write it down in the margin. Three, process. Four, prize. Five, person. Now what's the principle? God's the boss. Absolute boss. I teach freedom. I teach that God saves you as a gift. I teach that He doesn't want what most of these preachers tell you He wants so much. But He doesn't change. He's going to give you salvation. He's going to give you the capacity through His Spirit to do what you can't do yourself, but He's not going to change in what He wants from us. The church is a people who belong to the Lord. That's what Kyriakon means. The church, if you take the word ecclesiastical and the Latin words for church, ecclesia, is a word in the Greek, outcalled ones. Called out from the world that seeks its own way. Turn from that path to seek His way. You see, God is going to be the boss. Now, some of you women need to understand how tough it is to get men who have to make it on the streets to somehow find that paradoxical ability to survive out there and still learn how to be obedient to an unseen Lord and step by step learn to find His will and practice faith when all is pressing in. But it has to be done. I'm telling all you men, God's the boss. Now, I often say, and I slice through a lot of child psychology with this. I lived and grew up in progressive education in Stanford when social psychology took over, and they thought since mankind went through an evolution, The embryo seems to go through phases in the womb that catalog the whole evolutionary stage of life. Don't believe it, but that's what they taught. Therefore, socially and psychologically, we must go through all these stages. We must be a savage first, then go through each stage of civilization. And if you don't get the savage out of your system while your muscles are small, you got to have it sometime, so you turn into a wild man when you get older. So it was that free style of don't suppress and intimidate and warp their little personalities. Let the savage go. Every kid needs to learn sometime and hear it from his father, not just the mother. Sit down. Why? Because I said so. Well, why? Well, you can stand up again and bend over. Whack! In that spot that God provided, cushion. Now sit down. Why? You can stand up again. Whack! Because I said so. Why? Because I said so. And you ask why again, we go through the routine again. Warp his personality. That little whack on the buttock, gently applied but firmly enough to do no damage to anything but psychological adjustment, is much gentler than what God will do, should he choose him, to teach him. There are times you say, yes, sir, to God. You don't quarrel. I've been telling some of you, you've been chosen for a long time. You better accept it. That's why I don't preach this gobbledygook about faith will make you rich, and give to God, and all problems go away. You are not watching me by accident. You're not here by accident. Every person, God's eye is on them, and you're the lucky ones. He chose you to make something out of you. And he's going to let you know, and you're going to learn it. He's the boss. That's it, friend. He's the boss. Would you like me to finish this message?
Yes, sir.
You know, I got purpose. Why does he want to be the boss? Process. How does he get his job done? Prize and the person. I've only got over the first one. But I'm telling you, no one deserves authority until he's under it. I have learned in my years of experience, don't ever make a man a boss who enjoys it. They're the worst kind. I watch my staff members and those that just love to give orders. I want to make them clean toilets with four people sitting on them. I can't believe some of the things the Lord has me say. Reason why some of you men, I don't want a response from the ladies, the principle still applies, but God has a law. The reason some of you men do not get the lordship and worship that you have to have and you need, and the relationship is never going to work until it's being given to you, but one of the reasons you don't get it, you don't give it to God. You see, in your relationship, men, to God, you get the chance to play at being a woman. Because as a member of the church and the body of Christ, you're a woman, not a man. He's the man. You're the woman. And if you want it from your wife, Maybe you ought to start giving it to your husband, your Lord, and your King. I want to tell you something. A man who makes Jesus Christ his absolute Lord, that doesn't mean you have to conform to what other Christians tell you to do, but you make a decision. You're going to stay with God's Word, and you're going to stay with it until you know what God would have you do, and you're going to do it, and then the consequences. You're going to live with that principle. If any man hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Don't let your kids become a tyrant against you doing God's will and expect your wife to respect you. There are men who want their wife to give them worship and obedience, and they become absolute goons over their little kids, particularly if they have them when they're a little older than normal. You, men, owe the duty to Christ of obedience and worship that the wife is commanded by God to give to you. I challenge you, men. You give to Jesus Christ the wholehearted commitment, His will first, no matter what it costs you, His will in sickness and health, His will for better or for worse, His will for rich or for poor. This one thing I commit myself to do, to find and do what He wants. And I've already told you what He wants. He wants a faither. Faith is 90% courage and 9% tenacity. The reason homes are falling apart is too many crybaby wimps running them. You become a man of faith and dedicate yourself to serving your Lord and becoming a connection point in time that hangs on words forever fixed in heaven, no matter what the circumstance says, and you start giving worship to Christ, which starts with your pocketbook, friend. If that doesn't make a woman want to make you her Lord and King, then find one who will. But don't expect the woman to give it to you if you don't play your womanly role and give it to our husband in the figure of the church as the bride of Christ. I'll fight for the man's position, fathers, because God laid it down. And I'll fight for the old-fashioned way of a wife who respects her husband and lets him be the head of the house, and who gives worth to her husband until he can come to his castle after the wear and tear of life and be made to feel worthy instead of torn down further and told what a failure and a wimp he is by attitude, body language, and sometimes words. But I'm also going to tell you, you probably won't get it except by coercion, unless you learn the authority of God and give to Him and learn to be under His authority, which qualifies you to take the authority in your home. Thank God for a church full of men, most of whom are learning to do it God's way. Keep on, men. Don't give an inch. God! Come back next Sunday. I'll give you the purpose, the process, the prize, and the person. Happy Father's Day. Go out and make your family and God proud of you. In submission and worship of God and in leadership in your home. Let's give the men a hand, ladies. Come on, you know what a real man is. And Clay, I'm going through. See you later.